Open your King James Bible, please, to 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 4 for study number 26, please. This 15-minute Bible study is titled 1 Timothy Study 26-Endless Genealogies. Our Father, as we bow in your presence, give us wisdom today to understand the Scriptures, to preach the Scriptures, and Lord, to declare it with clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in verse number 4, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. In our last study, which was study number 25, we looked at the word fables, which was covered in lesson number 24 and 25. In this study, which is study 26, we will study the word endless genealogies. So far, we've looked at the word heed and the word fables in this verse 4. We will now move to the phrase endless genealogies. The word endless means never ending, continual, continuous, non-stop, eternal, or infinite. The word genealogies means studies in history, studies in family history or family trees, studies of ancestors, studies on our pedigree, or studies in our family lineage. To put these words together means to continually study ancestors and family lineage. It means to constantly be involved with pedigree and family history. Genealogies are a continual study. There were some that Paul was concerned about who were involved with this sort of thing. These things just kept manufacturing questions and did not edify the church or the saints of God. Paul therefore gives Timothy the charge to charge these saints to quit giving heed to if they were, and to not give heed to these things if they were even thinking about doing so. Remember, Paul is going to Macedonia. We found that out in verse number 3. He's leaving Timothy in charge, and this is the task that he has given Timothy. He was commanded to keep his eye on these and preach his way through it. In verse number 4, Paul is charging us through Timothy, like he did them, to not give heed or give attention to these endless genealogies that will just cause more questions and tie us up on things that we should not allow our time to be spent on. The devil knows how to occupy our time on these things. He knows how to do it. And he will keep us from serving God in our full capacity if he possibly can. Anything he can do to sidetrack us on this, he will do it in a heartbeat. Notice the word endless is placed before this word genealogies. That's basically what Paul wants us to get the thought of here. Tracing genealogies is an endless process. It's over and over and over. It's a habit-forming process as well. These genealogies that we might run may be informative and give us some thought and give us some information, but they're time-consuming and will take up too much of our precious time that we could be using to help win the lost to Christ and to help form and mold the character of those we come in contact with. Now, the devil is glad to get us tied up on things that will keep us going around and around and around in circles day after day, week after week, and letting the important matters of the gospel fall by the wayside. Christian friend, I'm sure you can think of things the devil has gotten you sidetracked on in your Christian life down through the years that took up too much of your time and took it away from the important matters of the church and your spiritual life. You may not even realize it at the time or recognize it at all, but it was a ploy of Satan to keep you from advancing in the work of the Lord. We're told here to not give heed to endless genealogies. This means we're not to give away our time to these genealogies or any other thing that will take our minds and our hearts away from serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart. We're constantly to give the Lord Jesus glory and to give him honor and to give him praise. These endless genealogies will steal our time away from our Savior, and they will ruin our fellowship with him. We should not allow anything to come between us and the Savior. I don't want to confuse you here. There are some genealogies in the Bible that are given to us in order to help us grow in the grace of our Lord. The first book of the New Testament, which is the book of Matthew, starts off with an in-depth genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is an important genealogy, and we are to look at it because it proves his ancestry all the way back to Adam and from God. There's a real significance of this genealogy in this first chapter of the book of Matthew. Many in Paul's day, and in our day as well, they're looking, and they looked back then, at the genealogies of families that had no genealogies at all, and that wasn't recorded, and spending too much time in researching and trying to find what the Bible never told them or does not tell us. All the Word of God is made and used and given that we could use it for the good, for our good and God's glory. Matter of fact, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, he says, all Scripture, that means all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If God has it in the book, it's good for us. We're not being charged here or told not to accept what the Bible tells us about family trees. Paul is telling us not to get drawn out over things we don't know or the things that are not in the Bible. Remember, if God had wanted us to know some of these things that people search out and try to find something that's not there, he'd have put them in the Scriptures and we'd have known it. Amen. I've heard many preachers use the works of Josephus and the historian, in their sermons and constantly refer to them. Now, we can learn a lot from the history from Josephus, but God did not tell us to preach Josephus. He told us to preach the gospel. Many likewise use the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs, the book of history of Josephus. I refer to them once in a while and every now and then, but I don't claim them as the Word of God, and I don't preach them. I just use them as a reference. And we're not commanded to preach them. We're told to preach the Word in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Remember, the New Testament starts off as a transition from the law to grace. Jesus is promised in these books. He, as the Messiah, he's been prophesied from Genesis to Malachi. And we'll find his appearance to men has come in the first chapter of the book of Matthew. God gives us the paperwork on Christ through the means of a genealogy to put his stamp of approval on him and to show the proof of his divinity. I don't want to get off on my text or lose our focus, but I believe it's a good place here to notice the importance of the four gospel records of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, these are not four gospels, but they're four records of the same gospel. Now, Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as a king. In Matthew, he's the king of the Jews, and that's how he's portrayed through that first book. The Jews were looking for a king, and they were looking for a kingdom. They were not looking for a Savior to come. They were looking for a king. In order to have a king, they must have a lineage, and he must show that he is of the king's lineage. Matthew produces a genealogy in the first chapter just for that purpose. That is why Matthew gives a genealogy. Two of the four gospel records have a genealogy, and two of them do not. Now, Mark portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as a suffering servant. Now, a servant don't need a genealogy to serve. So Mark don't give a genealogy. He just takes off with the works of a servant. Now, Luke portrays Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. That means that Luke portrays Jesus as the God-man or God in the flesh, all God and all man at the same time. Now, there needs to be a genealogy to prove that. And so, therefore, Luke gives us a genealogy. Now, John portrays the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God. There does not have to be a genealogy to prove that Jesus is the Son of God, because God has no genealogy. He always has been, and he always will be. These genealogies are in the Scripture for our information, and Paul is not saying that we should not heed these. These are not endless genealogies. These are not. They are fact that leaves no questions in the mind, but are godly edifying. Now, the word genealogies is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. 6 times it's found in the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. 1 time it's found in 1st Timothy here in our text. And 1 time it's found in the book of Titus. The word genealogy is mentioned 14 times in the Bible, and all them are found in the Old Testament. Now, there are only 2 places in the New Testament that this word genealogies, with an S on it, is referred to, and we have given you one of them already, and we're about to give you the second one. They're used by the Apostle Paul. In Titus chapter 3, in verse 9, the Bible said, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Other doctrine, fables, and endless genealogies that we have studied out of chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, they will minister questions," as we see in our text here. Now, here in our present verse we've just read, Paul tells us foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law are unprofitable and they're vain. Anything that the devil can get us to put our precious time on, except on the furtherance of the gospel, is unprofitable and it's vain. The word foolish means unwise. It means thoughtless. It means silly, idiotic, stupid. The word questions means an inquiry, a doubt of uncertainty, a subject of discussion, a debate. Now, the word genealogies, I'll give it to you once, I'll give it to you again, means family tree, descent, lineage, pedigree, family, ancestors, descendants. Now, the word contentious means argument, disagreement, debate, conflict, controversy, strife. The word strivings means motivated, determined, pushy, ruthless. In this verse, Paul has given us a list of things we're to avoid. The word avoid means to keep away from, stay away from, shun, steer clear of, let alone, pass it up, dodge it, escape it. Amen. Now, in this verse, Paul is saying shun, pass up, dodge, and escape unwise, silly, idiotic, and stupid questions. These are inquiries of doubt, uncertainty, and things to discuss, debate, and argue. In this verse also, Paul is saying shun, pass up, dodge, and escape things about ancestors, about family, about lineage, and about descendants if it's not in the Word of God. He's saying stick to the facts at hand and accept what God says. In this verse also, Paul is saying shun, pass up, dodge, and escape contentions or arguments, disagreements, conflicts, controversies, and strife. In this verse, Paul's also saying, shun, pass up, dodge, and escape strivings or ruthless, motivated conversations to entrap you and stir your flesh so that you'll say something or do something you should not do or say. He said these are unprofitable and vain. The word unprofitable means unbeneficial. It means unsuccessful. It means at a loss. The word vain means ineffective, hopeless, unproductive, useless, and worthless. Paul's telling Timothy to charge the people not to give heed to tales, to stories, or legends, or questions, or arguments, and the like. Paul is here trying to tell us that we are not to allow the devil to pull us away from the main purpose of serving Christ with all our heart and all our soul. We're told not to give heed to these endless genealogies that will not end up well. One question leads to another, and then another, and we can spend hours upon hours just trying to argue and answer questions and give answers that just keep on coming at us. Now, we hope this lesson number 26 has been a blessing, an encouragement, and a help to your soul. Allow the Holy Spirit to let this soak into your soul and stir your life. I pray God will bless you. Amen and amen.